is a message brought to you by the Shepherd's Ministries. God bless you richly as you listen.
Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having you as our Father. We praise your name, Holy King. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Today we'll be talking about single parenting. Single parenting. And quite often when we talk about single parenting, what readily comes to mind is a mom with her kids. But single parenting is not restricted to moms and their children. It's also about dads and their children. And in the scriptures, most talk about single parenting is often phrased, you know, with reference to fatherless, you know, children, you know, the fatherless, the widows. In fact, in the scriptures, you have 1,513 references to fatherless, you know, to the fatherless. And if the scripture says so much about that, then we must pay attention, isn't it? You know, that's one of the ways you find out the things that are weighty, how much of scripture is devoted to those issues. So 1,513 is not, you can't count that on one hand, can you? So that's really important. But what really, you know, how do people become single parents? How do people become single parents? There are so many ways, you know, that people become single parents. Some people are single parents by choice. Yeah, there are people that go out there and say, look, I just want to have a baby and be on my own. There are people who do it by choice. There are some people that is forced upon them through rape. Then you have some that are single parents by divorce, you know, through divorce, as a result of a divorce. Some are single parents because of the death of their spouse. Some become single parents by adopting or fostering other people's children. You know? So you can become a single parent, you know, like that. But there's another way that people become single parents. You know, orphans parenting their siblings. We are familiar with those, aren't we? Yeah, orphans parenting their siblings. There's another one through modern, you know, the world we live in today with, you know, communications and, you know, good travel networks, people are able to travel far distances. So you have people who are single parents because of long separation from their families. You get what I'm saying? Though it may be temporary, or you may call that maybe short-term single parents. Okay? People who, you know, I've seen people who have been in different countries studying or working or doing some things, you know, for several years. And one spouse is left with the children. Technically, those ones are single parents. So the things we'll be talking about here, you know, this evening, actually, at one point or the other, will be affecting every one of us. You know, except you and your spouse die the same day. You know? Even if when your children have grown up and left home, you are still a parent. Parenting is a life sentence. There's no leave. There's no transfer. But there's one thing, you know, that is, you know, a common denominator, you know, for all single parents. All single parents have a concern for their children. That's good. They all have a concern for their children. Sometimes you see some people in some situations, oh, where they brought this upon themselves. Yeah, it doesn't matter who the judge or jury is. The truth is that even those people have a genuine concern for their own children. And there's something that is also common, though it's not universal, amongst our single parents. Should I call stress, you know, issues amongst our single parents? Normally three. One, stress that relates to their own children. Stress that relates to time. You know, sometimes when you have your spouse living with you, you know, both parents living together, guess what? You share responsibilities, isn't it? You know, and this is one of the areas that really, you know, touches my heart when it comes to single parents. I'm not a single parent. Okay, I'm married. I have four children. But Even with that, you know, my wife and I, devoted to each other and devoted to our own children, we still struggle sometimes. We still struggle sometimes, and my heart just goes out for single parents. You know, sometimes I'm able to chill out and she looks after the children. Sometimes she chills out and I look after the children. But for some of the single parents, they are there with no help and nobody to cry to or even to, you know, to support them. So we all must pay attention. And the third stress factor is money. Finance can be a big issue. We are now in a world where within a few generations, even maybe one or two generations, you know, things have changed. You know, from a world where people, where parents have so many children, to a world where children have so many parents. You know, because of all the blended, you know, relationships and all the things, the divorce, the breakup, and the remarriage, and even without that, people hopping from place to place, and, you know, you have in-laws and out-laws of different shapes and sizes and colors all over the place, you know. But who is caught in the middle in all of this? The children. So how can we create a world that is conducive for single parents to support their own children? James chapter 1 verse 27 says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is what? To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. In their afflictions. You've heard people say, oh well, in some situations it's actually better for, you know, for this man to leave the house and let the woman take care of the child, you know, on their own. It may be better for the children. And people preach those kind of gospel. It's not a gospel from the throne of grace. In fact, it's a gospel from the pit of hell. God's own design is that children should be raised together by their parents. The father and the mother raising their own children. Sometimes it's not the case. However, when that is not the case, God charges the church to reflect his own love. You know, scripture says, I think in Psalm 10 verse 14, that God is the helper of the fatherless. Is the helper of the fatherless. Psalm 68 verse 5 says that God is the father of the fatherless. And in verse 6, it says he says the lonely in homes. He says the solitary in homes. You know, so God looks at that. Even Job, in Job 29, was talking about his own righteousness, you know, talking about things, you know, the good things he has done, the righteous deeds that he has done, you know, and he talked about how he listened, how he cared for the fatherless, how he heard the cries of the widows. And the scripture also tells us, you know, in Proverbs 21 verse 13, that if you stop your own ears to the cry, you know, of the poor, that when you cry yourself, you will not be heard. So, when we talk, some of us here may be disappointed. The line I'm going down, you may want us to just talk about single parents and single parents and their own issues. But single parenting affects the whole church and affects every one of us. And we all must share in that responsibility. Now, speaking specifically, you know, about single parenting, one of the key things, one of the key points, quite a few of them, you know, will race, you know, through, you know, this evening. And I will advise that you get the CD, you know, the message. Get the CD and get to listen to these things over and over and over again. Take notes, especially the area that only pertains to you. You can get for your friends or those that will be listening on the web. You know, do so. You know, one of the key points, you know, that single parents must take note of, immediately within the time, the short frame of time, you know, within that, the immediate moment of becoming single parents, is that they must seek to maintain stability. They must seek to maintain stability. This is not a time to engage in major decisions. There's so much upheaval, you know, going on. Even stability in the life of the children is very vital. You know, think about child care for those people that use, you know, have child care provisions. You know, maybe a childminder or some nursery place you go to. Investigate that very carefully before you place a child, you know, into with any carer. You know, why is it important that you take your time to investigate that before making any firm decisions? So that you can minimize having to change carers frequently. The children are going through some terrible stress at home, and they need a lot of stability in their own lives. Then another point is that you must establish within, you know, certain, I mean, within maintaining stability, you must establish and stick to daily routine. Establish and stick to daily routine. You know, for example, when you pick up your children from school or from the carer, when you drop them off, bedtime, waking up time, you know, meals time, you know, those little things in life. Set up a routine, establish a routine. It will help life to flow more smoothly and help everybody to adjust to the new change that they found themselves in. You must establish and maintain good family traditions. You know, good family traditions actually help to give meaning to and minimize stress in life. You know, have good family traditions. You know, even your eating together could be a good tradition. Your church life, you know, family devotions, you know, seasonal family events. You know, there's so many things that make up family traditions. Whatever it is that is relevant to you in your own situation, do. Then number two thing that you must take into consideration after seeking to maintain stability is to develop a plan for survival. Develop a plan for survival. It's war. It's not a joke. Develop a plan for survival. Develop and maintain good support network. This is very important. Good support network. Extended family, you know, can be very helpful. You know, sometimes can be very helpful. But the ones that are helpful, get them on your side. Friends, you know, this is time to actually strengthen your own relationship, you know, with friends. But at the same time, be careful with those ones that take sides after a divorce. It does happen. This is one of the problems of divorce. You and your wife, or your wife and your husband, you and your husband, you know, have had a group of friends, you know, and divorce comes in. You know what? Some will side with the woman, and some will side with the man. Some don't want to side with anybody. They want to be neutral, so they withdraw from both of you. Okay? So be careful as to who you actually, you know, cry out to. Whatever be the case, try to build up some good network of friends. Even if it's one or two, you will need such support. What about single parent support groups? So investigate the ones that are around in your neighborhoods. And children's play groups can be helpful. Sometimes it can be a way of getting some break for yourself and letting your children, you know, be amongst other people too, you know, and really have some good time. Then child care co-ops is a very good idea. You know, you can look out for other people that have need for child care. You can, you know, form up a kind of co-op of three or four, you know, families, you know, so that we have this appointment so that we all can take turn to get some rest. You know what I'm saying? So I care for all the children today, or this particular day of the week. Next, the night, you know, you can get your own break, and then somebody else does that, you know? You know, it's cheap. You don't pay for that. You simply share the responsibilities. And, you know, it does work. Then getting involved in voluntary work in your child's school or local club can be helpful. It helps you to meet other parents and have more things to, you know, you learn more things that you can talk about with your child. And your presence there can also be reassuring, you know, for the children in those situations. And one word that many of us, especially in the church, don't like to hear: get professional help if you need one. Don't shy away from it. So much stress, so much emotional needs, so much financial needs. You may need a financial advisor. You may need so many things. Get help if you need one. And from time to time, we all do need help. You should never be afraid or ashamed to seek for help. When the devil is telling you to be quiet, you know, what will people say that you are looking for help? He's only telling you that he wants to kill you off. He's already killing you. He wants to gobble you up. You know, so cry out for help. Then watch your finances. Watch your finances. You may, in the words of IMF, have to undergo some structural, structural adjustments. You understand what that means? Yeah. Budget can be tight. There are many people who become single parents, and within a short time of becoming single parents, they lose their homes. They can't meet up with the payments of the mortgage. You know, some fall ill. You know, so many things happen. Some lose their jobs. Some actually suffer mental breakdown. You know, so many things happen. Finances can be quite tight in some situations. You know, don't mind the big money settlements that people have in divorces, you know, those ones that look at marriage as a contract and not as a covenant. You know, that's not the line we want to go down. You know, and another point is that your children are looking up to you. They're looking up to you. You must always be aware of that. And aim to spend one-on-one time, you know, with the children, especially the very young ones, even the older ones. You know, it can be very reassuring and soothing, you know, for them, that you are there and you're not going to be taken away from them. One parent has been taken away already by death, divorce, whatever it means, but that you that is there, you are there for them. Okay? That's critical. Then, as believers, we are to reconcile, because sometimes becoming a single parent might be through some quarrels, yeah? Some divorce, you know, situations. We are asked to reconcile, to forgive and to reconcile. Even in that area of reconciliation, go slow. Don't rush into it. Yeah, we can be very zealous. Forgive your own heart. But the process of reconciliation should not be rushed. Should not be rushed. Because it, you know, it's a time of great vulnerability. Make short-term sacrifices for long-term gains. You know, there are some temporary inconveniences that you may have to, you know, undergo, so that you can have space to, you know, address some, you know, long-term issues. You know, and be very careful about walking into a leap pad, hastening yourself into a leap pad. In other words, getting into another relationship. Getting into another relationship. Some people, they come out of one relationship, they hop into another one. You are not in a good state for that. You know, when I've had the privilege or the opportunity, if I may say, to actually counsel people in this very situation, it's not a healthy thing. As you talk, you find out how broken the people still are. And when you are emotionally destabilized, that's not the time you want to, you know, start getting yourself into some, you know, commitments. And one good advice, too, is that if you must date anybody, don't, you know, okay, I think I'm preempting quite a few things here, but I'll say this and get it out of the way. If you have to date somebody, the wisdom there is that the counsel there is date the person for about 2 years and preferably within the same town that you are in. You know, people play smart, don't they? And somebody who is already broken wants some sweet things to be said to them, things that are really reassuring. But when you date the person who is there with you in the same town, about 2 years, you know where they, you know, their hideouts, you know the kind of things they get up to, you know, and you'll be able to check them out. You know, and one other thing about, you know, dating, if you must, is that keep the person away from your children until you make firm decisions. Keep the person away from your children, whether old or young. Keep them away from your own children until you've made firm decisions. For the older children, they can be very jealous and feel threatened about another adult coming to share their parent with them. For the younger children, they get easily attached to any adult that spends time with them. And we must minimize the distress. And what again? The betrayal. You know, we must cut short. Minimize the trail of betrayal that those people often suffer. Okay. God will help us. And you don't have to answer all your children's questions. You don't have to answer all their questions by any means. But when they ask some questions, answer with real integrity. Answer with integrity, you know, questions about the non-custodial, you know, parents, but limit your answer to the question that is asked. It's not a time to, you know, to poke in some things to make you look good and better than the non-custodial parent. And do not depend on your children for support for adult problems. Never depend on your children for support for adult problems. Seek appropriate help if you need one. Number 3, on the critical issues that we need to look at, rebuild your self-esteem step by step. You may say self-esteem. Supposing the person you lost your spouse through death, it does have a devastating effect even on the parent that is left behind. Build up your self-esteem, you know, step by step. You feel low, you feel rejected in case of divorce, you know, and all that emotions that people really go through, step by step. Begin to think differently. Think positively about yourself. And you see, you know, it's not all this kind of feel-good kind of thought. But Philippians 4 verse 8 tells us the kind of thoughts, you know, we should be thinking, and the, you know, the things we should exercise ourselves, you know, on. Then resolve by God's grace the guilt and other negative feelings that you may have. Sometimes through some people, it's amazing. You lose a loved one, maybe in death, somebody dies. They live and feel so guilty that they are the ones who are alive and not the ones that are gone. It does happen. And sometimes, in the case of divorce, there's guilt. When people sit back and reflect, you find that, look, there is always, I mean, if you read the scriptures, God hates divorce. He hates it. And you know that divorce does not end the marriage covenant. It doesn't. And the person you have broken their own heart is the person you once loved so dearly. So at the times of reflection, when you are alone, a lot of guilt does set in. And some people get ruled by guilt. Even the way they relate with their own children, the things they do are all dictated by guilt. It's not good. Deal with that. Begin to do things that help you feel good. Like exercise. Some people get some pleasure from exercise. Hey? Exercise. Mom's hour. Babysitting. You know, all, you know, other things. Whatever it is. You know, going to church. Serving in the church. You know, Anna was there about 80 years. Serving in the church. I mean, she was widowed for about 80 or 86 years. Yeah, and was there devoted in the church, serving. You know, serving in the church. You know, and begin to allow people to help you. Begin to allow people to help you. Develop a social life separate from your own child. That's important. Okay. Another issue that we need to look at is creating a healthy respect from your ex. Creating a healthy respect for your ex, your ex-spouse. You know? For the sake of the children, have a healthy respect for them. You know, when you keep talking bad about your ex, you know what? The children are listening. And all you're telling them is that you had a bad mother. Your mother was really horrible. Your father was really terrible. And that image is there. It does not sow life into the life, into those children. It's death that you're sowing. For your own sake and for the sake of the children. You know? Have a healthy respect for your own ex. No negative talk about them. Don't let guilt rule your own life. Be submissive. Ultimately, be submissive to honoring God in your life. Be submissive to honoring God in your life. You know, Dr. Kevin, you know, Lehman, you know, described, you know, single parenthood as a captain of a boat. Not a cruise ship, but a single paddle boat on a rough sea. It can be very challenging. So we all do need the help and every help that we can get. Allow people to help you. But at this point, I must say this. We need to be very careful here as a church how we relate with single parents, especially those ones who have lost their spouse, either by death or by divorce, especially those ones who have suffered divorce. I think they're the ones who are most vulnerable. They're the ones who are treated most harshly. When they seek help and they come to somebody, to a particular family, a lot of women will buy a bulldog and a Rottweiler and have a machine gun stationed at their door against that woman that wants to come and seek help from their husband. Do you get what I'm saying here? Many women do not feel comfortable with single women or single parent women coming near their husbands. They are so protective. Saying, huh, you want to come and take mine? You know, it becomes an issue. It's terrible. They need our help. They need our support. And we must be able to reach out to them. Healing the past and looking to the future. Forgive past hurts. If you hold on to past hurts, what will it do to you? It will eat you up as a cancer. Your heart may not always be ready to forgive. That's true. May not always be ready to forgive. Some of us takes us a little bit more time to deal with, you know, hearts that we've suffered. But the best person to really talk to about it is God. He already knows how we feel, and he's the one who is able to support us. And we must be able to tell him freely how we really feel about that? Build bridges with people. Develop healthy relationships. You know? What about creating harmony with your ex-spouse? Creating harmony for the people who have suffered divorce or separation. Creating harmony. You cannot create harmony without forgiveness. So forgiveness, again, is the key. And the scripture tells us so many times that we should walk in love. Yeah, you may say, hey, how can I love this person? I didn't love him and we broke up. How can I love him after we have broken up? Sometimes it's even easier for you to love the person after you've broken up than when, you know, through the time, than when you're going through that trauma of breakup. You know? But the truth is that it is a debt we owe as believers. Forgiveness or loving people is not optional. In fact, for your own sanity, you must forgive and you must love. We just have to do that. In Romans 5 verse 8, the scripture said that God commended his love towards us in that when we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. You know? Ephesians 5:2, so we should walk in love. Walk in love. But again, walking in love here is moving on. Because through unforgiveness, if you don't forgive, the scripture says that your own prayer will be hindered. You will pray and your prayer will not be heard. You know? Loving is not about seeking new love. No. Frank Sinatra lied, you know, to people when he says that love is sweeter the second time around. It's not true. You know, stolen bread may be sweet, but it leaves gravel in the mouth, doesn't it? Pray for your ex. Pray for your ex, you know, for your ex-husband, ex-wife. Pray for them. And avoid demonizing your ex before your children. You understand what I mean by that? Avoid demonizing your ex before your children. The tendency is this. When you demonize your ex before your children, guess what? They deify your ex. They deify them. They make them almost like God. They become heroes. You know? And remember, quite often, and this is one thing that we must learn too, when separation takes place, guess what? A lot of the children actually blame the parent that they are living with, not the one that has gone away. It does happen. Some may feel very, very hurt about the one that has really gone away, you know, feel rejected and, you know, and all of that. And sometimes also blame the one who was there, who is there with them, as being responsible. Even sometimes children carry guilt for the breakup of their own, you know, parents' relationships. So we need to address those issues. You know, establish a routine for visits or contacts with the non-custodian parent. You know, and you must encourage contact. You must encourage, you know, relationship. You know, that they build relationship, you know, with their, you know, with the absent parent, with the non-custodial parent. They must do that. Then avoid triangles. Place the responsibility where it belongs. You know the we always have to place the proverbial ball in the court that it belongs. You know, say the ball is in your court, yes? What am I talking about? I use visitation situation as an example. Say the man who is not at home with the woman, with the mom, you know, and the children, arranges a visit, or let's say the non-custodial parent arranges for a visit. I'm coming to visit, and I'm going to take you out, saying to the children, and the time for the visitation comes, and the parent doesn't turn up. You know what the child will do? The child will feel bad and will turn to you who is present there and say, where's my mom? Where's my dad? The answer is that you don't what? You don't even know. So, what should you do? Pick up the phone, call that very one that is not kept the appointment and blast them. Tell them how horrible they are and how what they are doing is affecting the children. No. That will not be a healthy way to deal with it. Hello, babe. You have your dad's phone number or your mom's phone number. Why not give them a call and talk to them? With that, what happens? You're not coming between them. The non-custodial parent and the children. You're not coming between them. You are letting the relationship flow. So let that man or that woman explain to the child why they are not there. A lot of times when you take the responsibility yourself and swear and curse and do bang the phone and slam it, you know what? At the end of the day, that little child still doesn't know why the parent didn't turn up. And your explanation will never be good enough. Because when you want to explain what is happening, you are still filled with anger and frustration. Oh, that horrible one. Why I wish he was even dead. That's not helpful to the child that is there. Okay, develop consistency in your own home. Have boundaries with your children and have boundaries with your ex. A lot of times there have been situations where the non-custodial parent just feels free to walk in and walk out and arrange things and all that without, you know, just comes in and disrupts the life and the system that you set up in the home and everything. Have boundaries. Have boundaries. And you must learn to lead your children to still waters. I mean, the statistics are just damning when it comes to single, you know, children being raised up in single parent homes, especially a mom's only home. You know, say 25% of U.S. children, don't live with their dads. 70 million children don't live with their dads. And girls without dads are 2.5 times more likely to become pregnant than those with their dads. You know, and girls without dads are 53% more likely to commit suicide than those ones who have their dads with them. And boys without dads are 63% more likely to run away from home, and 37% more likely to use drugs. Let me talk a bit about the boys running away from home, those ones that do not live with their dads, so their dads are always absent. The tendency is that even if they don't run away, they keep companies outside the home too much and stay away from the home so much. It's always the case. They don't want to relate. They just want to be on their own. It's not healthy. You know, and you know, girls between 12 and 17 without dads, that is in mom-only families, you know, they are 50% more likely to use drugs, alcohol, and tobacco than children who live with both biological parents. But all these statistics can really be neutralized through what? Being a good parent. Not a great parent. It's just being authentic, just being natural, just being real is what, you know, is being asked for. No child is looking for a perfect parent. Absolutely. And nobody can be a perfect parent. God is our perfect parent. We all are looking, you know, in that very mirror. You know, beholding Him, and as we look unto Him, you know, and keep gazing on Him, we ourselves will be changed from glory to glory. We must keep our children out of the middle. Between our relationship and our ex. Let them not be in the middle. You know, if you do not, I mean, Revelation 3 verse 16 actually gives a good picture. You know, it says you're neither cold or hot. Because you are lukewarm, I will spew out of my own mouth. That's what happens when children are kept in the middle. You know, if you keep them in the middle, you will end up with half-baked, confused, and angry children. Don't keep them in the middle. Never use children as spies on their non-custodial parent, the other parent, whichever parent. Don't use the children as spies on each other. Hello? Don't use children as spies. It happens. Okay. And never use them as couriers. Okay? Don't use them as couriers. So don't put DHL out of business. Okay. Never use them as spies. Don't use them as couriers. And never push them or suggest to them to choose sides. It is wickedness. It's manipulation, and manipulation is witchcraft. Don't practice witchcraft on your children, basically. And solicit the cooperation. Solicit the cooperation of your spouse's parents, you know, who are more likely to talk bad about their own son or about their own daughter. You know, there are some parents that are really, really upset with the conduct of their own children. They feel that this man is irresponsible. He couldn't even maintain his family. He couldn't be there for his children. Yeah, that happens. Or say, this our daughter is not really a good, you know, and they talk bad all the time. So they see their own support, not to talk bad about your spouse in the presence of the children. You know? Because it does leave a bad, you know, odor in the life of those children. Then when it comes to discipline, have an agreement with your spouse, with your ex-spouse, you know, on age-appropriate discipline, you know, which covers acceptable and non-acceptable behavior. You know, and discuss strategies and limits. Discuss discipline. You know, because they will, you know, they should have a role to play in the love of your own children. What happens is that when there's a breakup, the common thing is what? Competition between both parents arises. I'm going to show these children that I actually care about them better than this other one cares. You know, that's the horrible one. I'm not the horrible one. So you buy them all the nice gifts and buy the most expensive things, take them to the places that they shouldn't be going to, you know, and doing all sort of things, you know, with them, allow them to get away with all manner of things, you know. You don't discipline them because you don't want to be seen to be the one that is a harsh one, the horrible one, you know. I don't know how many of us here, parents, have had your children really come and give you real hug and kisses and thank you and shout hallelujah and buy you, you know, gifts after you've really disciplined them hard. Anybody? Okay, maybe not. Anybody here done it to their own parents before? The most I have done is really going to my mom or my dad, you know, literally, and putting my hands around them and say, oh, thanks for some of those times. It was quite hard, but, you know, thanks for doing all those things. Hello? And they just look at me and smile. You know. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Yeah, really thanking our parents for the things they have done, but Hebrews 12 tells us that no chastisement for the present moment seems joyous, but grievous. But afterwards, it works out what? The fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised by faith. I'm really staying away, you know, from discussing discipline and so many other issues, you know, in single parenting home. Because when we come to the topic on discipline, we'll be able to explore that, you know, fully. Your children should have freedom to relate with their absent parent. If you unduly resist their, you know, relating with the absent parent or talking bad about them, sometimes some parents won't even talk bad about the absent parent. They just curtail, completely resist contact or relationship with the absent parent. When you do that, guess what? Those children will run the other way. They'll run the other way. There will be something, look, in every one of us human beings, there's something in us that makes us yearn for our parents. Whether they are dead or living, something makes you yearn for them. That's why people that grew up without knowing their own parents in adulthood, there is something missing that they will do everything they can to find out who that parent is. Encourage your children to relate well with them. And your children need your emotional permission to talk to and relate with your ex-spouse. They need your emotional permission. You know, some people will be going and they say, and they will let the children go and arrange the things. And when the children are going, the way they'll be holding on to them, and they're going through the door, they're still holding. Even the look on their eyes, some tears will be flowing. And all that things, there's, you know, a lot of, you know, emotional things, you know, going on. I don't want to use some hard words. You understand that language better than I do. You know, but we must give them emotional permission to relate. We must be authentic. In fact, this issue of authenticity is not only relevant to single parents, for all parents. We must be authentic. We must let our children know who we are. You know? But something we must be very careful, you know, with is not to unduly keep your grief from your children. Don't unduly, though. You don't lean on them too much. You know, the tendency is to do that with the firstborn children, you know, or the only child, you know, situation. You know, you want to pour everything and share everything with that. No, don't do that. However, don't unduly keep your grief, you know, from them. Let them know you and love you, you know, and, you know, support you, you know, to the extent that they can. then allow the extended family to play their positive part in your children's lives. The extended family. Sometimes it could even be holiday, it could even be child caring, it could be anything. There are so many things that happens. Let the children know the links that they have. Sometimes parents feel so grieved that they wouldn't let the children relate with the families of their ex. With time, they will trace themselves back. But it is our responsibility to help our children along the way. And for we ourselves that find ourselves in those kind of situations of single parenthood, to open up and get all the help and support that we need. God is with us. The church is one. What touches one? Touches all.
If you've been blessed by this message, don't hesitate to contact us at www.theshepherdsministries.org. Thank you for listening.